Sit back and relax. It's time to improve your financial lot in life. Produced at CFIS FM Studios in Prince George, this is your tune-up. And here's your host, Deb Ross.
Canadian families seem more disconnected these days than perhaps ever before. This is really affecting our senior population in particular. Now, I've spent time with seniors in our community and found out that many of them don't see their relatives very often, especially when our family members live spread out across Canada. So one senior I was chatting with, she said she only sees her family twice a year. And another senior that I spent some time with, she only sees her family when she pays for the annual family cruise, something she started doing after her husband passed away, and she started noticing the family fragmenting even more. So when here we have such a vulnerable part of our community who face important decisions on an ongoing basis, and oftentimes they're facing these decisions alone, decisions such as healthcare or financial needs. These individuals, they need assistance and they need support. So I'd like to introduce today's guest. This is Jill Chambers. She is the president and founder of a company called Financial Concierge, which is headquartered in Calgary, Alberta. Jill, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to join me and my listeners in this very important conversation.
It's my pleasure to join you, Deb. Thanks for the invite.
So, Jill, what is your reaction to my opening statements? And I'm curious, how often do you witness this type of scenario play out in the work that you do?
Sadly, this is very typical. I met with a client just last week. Her husband died 3 years ago, and that's the last time her adult children visit her. She's in Calgary, one lives in somewhere in BC, and one lives in Minneapolis. So the only time she sees them is if she makes the effort and buys the ticket and arranges to go down and have a visit with them.
Now, that seems... It's beyond sad.
Mm-hmm.
And is this scenario is playing out more frequently than, say, if we even look back 10 years ago? What do you think about that?
I think it's changed. I think that, if anything, we're more socially disconnected from everyone, not just family. I mean, you just look at people walking down the street and everybody's head down looking at their iPhone. They're not talking to the person beside them or chatting with somebody on the bus. Everybody's just buried in their own little world. So, it is sad, but I do see a lot of seniors that are very much on their own. Another one that comes to mind, she has her husband and her two adult sons predeceased her. And so what Trudy has for family is a sister in Burlington, a cousin somewhere else in Ontario. She has one granddaughter who lives on a farm, a couple of hours north of Calgary. And she hasn't even seen this granddaughter and the new baby. And the baby's almost a year old.
So do you think that the social media plays a part of this? Like when you're saying people have their heads down on their phones, I can't help but wonder if the social connections online, and a lot of people are living their lives online, have really caused a disconnection from real relationships.
Well, I think so. And look at, if you have young adults in your life, do they ever answer their phone? They communicate by text because it's quick and easy. So it's a different world out there. It's no excuse for not staying in contact with family, and particularly with seniors.
Well, now that we've sort of laid out the challenge that we're facing in our senior population, would you please share with us your career path and what led you to establish Financial Concierge?
Absolutely. So my initial career was nursing. I did my nursing degree in Manitoba, and I worked in a variety of areas, a lot of them with seniors, as a VON, which I'm not sure whether your listeners will be familiar with, but that was Victorian Order of Nurses. And about 95% of my clients were seniors. I did that for a few years. I had student nurses, and I worked on a geriatric floor with students. I worked in the community as a public health nurse, and part of my role were the annual influenza clinics, so a lot of our clients were seniors. What else did I do? Lots of different nursing things. And then in 2007, I did a 180-degree shift, and I got into the financial services industry. I'm very much a people person. I'm not really a numbers person. I like the personal contact. So this role has kind of, you know, really blended everything together. And how Financial Concierge came along, I was working in Calgary as a financial advisor, and one of my investment clients said to me, my mom and dad live in PEI, mom's in care, dad's on his own, and there must be somebody that could just provide him with a little bit of oversight. I just want to make sure that when he writes the bill or pays the bill for the hydro, he's paying, writing that check for $40, not $400. Is there somebody around that could just give him, you know, just kind of touch base, check with him? Well, we couldn't find anything. So then we started thinking, well, how about Calgary? It's a great big city. There must be something here. And we couldn't find any service. So Mel, being a retired engineer, he put together a business case. 25 pages, charts, graphs, statistics, scenarios. He just had a huge plan. So we actually went around to a couple of accounting firms thinking that this would be a good fit for their practice. Oh, no, that wouldn't generate enough revenue. Then we went to a couple of investment firms. Oh, no, our clients are fine. And if they had any issues, well, we would help them. Well, all of that to me is being a little short-sighted, because that was back in 2012. And we know how the population of seniors is growing and growing and growing. So anyway, we couldn't find any interest, kind of put it on the back burner. And then I found myself suddenly unemployed on the 2nd of January of 2018. So I took 24 hours to regroup. I phoned Mel. I said, Mel, I'm going to launch the business. So we got together the next week and brainstormed how to sort of get this up and running. And Mel has remained my sounding board. We get together every 3 to 6 weeks and just kind of talk about what's happening. So it was a flurry of activity. I incorporated the company on the 12th of January, 2018. I got my logo designed, business cards ordered, signed up for a two-year business coaching program because I didn't have formal business education. Set up focus groups. What else did we do? Had a website developed. And by March 1st, I launched. So obviously, I am a person of action. I don't do very well just sort of sitting around or being in limbo. And the focus groups were really quite interesting. Mel and I thought this was a great idea, but what if nobody else did? Maybe we were barking up the wrong tree. So we ran two different focus groups. I had a variety of professionals participate. I had caregivers. I had seniors. I had people that provided services to seniors in the community, and had them identify what kind of help might a senior need in later years with their day-to-day money management. So not their investment portfolio and not their banking or bank advisor, not their insurance person, but just keeping on top of day-to-day issues. And that's how we designed what the company is all about.
So based on all of that research and all of that somewhat painstaking investigation and data gathering from focus groups, you clearly took a lot of detail, and then you created a company and services that fit those needs. Now, I'm going to ask you maybe a rather tough question, and I don't mean for this to be a tough question, but clearly you have a professional background and you have a very compassionate and caring background. But why should people, particularly seniors, trust you?
And they probably shouldn't. They should be skeptical. And they should do a little questioning and a little looking into who I am and what I'm doing. They will be reassured when they do that. I've been accredited by the Better Business Bureau, and they're pretty vigilant. It was quite a process to get approved and accredited. And they keep really close watch on sort of what your business is doing, are there concerns raised, and they're right on top of any issues that need to be resolved. I'm also bound by a couple of different codes of ethics. As a financial professional, I'm bound by the Code of Ethics with the Financial Planners Association of Canada. And I'm also a member of an organization called the American Association of Daily Money Managers. This vocation or this title has been around in the States for over 20 years, but this is a brand new concept for Canada. So I thought it was really important to belong to a bigger organization.
Right. So in terms of my question about why should people trust you, you're basically saying, let's build some relationship and build trust. You'll trust me after you have relationship, but please don't jump into a relationship and all of a sudden land in trust.
Exactly. I think trust is to be earned. And I think when you do what you say you're going to do, and you do it when you say you're going to do it, that is how people will learn to trust you. The clients also like the fact that they can find me on my website, they can read a little bit about me, they can see a picture that's a real picture. This isn't Photoshopped, and this isn't from 15 years ago. When they meet me, I look just like that picture on the website.
It's amazing how important that is, isn't it?
Authentic. I'm who I say I am, and I do what I say I'm going to do.
So you must have a very intense vetting process for people who want to work for you, since you value your client's trust. What does that process look like?
It absolutely is. I think it's pretty intense. It's certainly more than if you jumped into a volunteer program. I look for retired professionals who enjoy working with seniors that are looking for rewarding, flexible, part-time employment. The first step is that they'll send me a resume. They can email it to me to jill@financial-concierge.ca. We set up a time for a chat, and prior to the chat, I will send them a brief overview of the role so they understand a little bit about what financial concierge is, because, of course, it's a new term. I've trademarked it because I think it's pretty special.
It's smart.
Yeah. I want it to mean something in the public. So after we have our conversation, see if this is a fit, does this sound like something they want to do, then I'll send a copy of the contract. And it's a fairly extensive contract outlining the responsibilities of the contractor and my responsibilities. The biggest responsibility on my part is offering the professional errors and omissions or liability insurance. And that was quite an arduous process to secure insurance. Insurance companies are pretty loath to take on risk these days, so hence part of making sure I have a very detailed resume of everybody that's on my staff. Another piece that we do is that everybody has to provide me with a copy of a current background check, including a vulnerable sector report. And as well, so that sort of tells me that they don't have any history, there haven't been any issues in the criminal system, and particularly nothing dealing with seniors. I also ask for their credit score. And that may sound odd, but I don't need all your details, but I do look for the number, and I want to see people that have a good to excellent credit score. To me, that provides me with confidence that they don't have kind of a gambling issue. They don't have problems, anything where they might be tempted to put their hand in the cookie jar. I just don't want that ever. It's the optics of the whole thing. I want everybody to be above board and in really good standing.